Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We are in a period known as the 100 Deadliest Days. This is for teen drivers, a time between Memorial Day and Labor Day. It's when we see a spike in the number of fatal crashes involving these inexperienced motorists. Reducing these numbers is something that we all should be concerned about, not just because we care about all these kids, but also because we consider that we're all sharing the same roads. So what is behind this deadly summer driving days? What can we do about it? And if you got a solution for your household with your teen driver, give us a call. Teachers see a lot of this. You know, they have kids in their classes. They see them grow up. They become freshman, sophomore, junior, and then senior. And then they see they don't get to walk across the stage because something happened in that time. And so we want to hear your stories as well. The number to call in to get into our conversation is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Rebecca Passini. She is the principal transportation planner for the city of San Antonio. Stacy Tisdale is a transportation researcher with the Teens in the Driver's Seat, an initiative under the Texas A&M Transportation Institute Youth Transportation Safety Program, and Dominique Garcia, he is a traffic officer with the San Antonio Police Department. Welcome to all of you guys to being here this afternoon. Start off with Stacy Tisdale with Teens in the Driver's Seat. This is a solution-driven program trying to do what? How do we change this?
Correct. So we've been around since 2002. We just celebrated 16 years. We started right here in San Antonio after a rash of crashes killed quite a few teens. And the director, Russell Hink, said he needed to do something about it. And so he started a peer-to-peer program, and we've been continuing ever since, have grown substantially. We are a nationally recognized best practice program. So what we do is work with a group of teens in a high school. It can be public, private. We also do junior high work, and we give them the tools that they need to make the change. We know that peers influence their friends through all sorts of ways, and so we want to utilize that and ask them to change driving behavior within their school and community.
And we'll get more into that. Stacy Tisdale, let me go over to Rebecca Passini, the principal transportation planner for the city of San Antonio. And we have a Vision Zero program in place here in San Antonio where we're trying to reduce traffic deaths and pedestrian deaths. And is this part of that? Is that why you're here today?
Yes. So the city of San Antonio, we adopted Vision Zero in 2015, and our goal is to eliminate all traffic fatalities and serious injuries on our roadways. And teen drivers are a part of that statistic.
So are we looking at our own local driving area? Is there how we plan our streets and how to make them safer for these teens? So talk about that.
So one of the principles of Vision Zero is that we need to have a transportation system that is more forgiving, in that people make mistakes. We're all human, but our transportation needs to respond to those mistakes and realize that people aren't perfect. So we do look for instances where crashes happen more often. We also look at the stats on who are the people behind the crashes, the fatalities, the drivers, plus walkers and people biking. And we put that all together to inform where should we have investment. Is it investment in infrastructure, so transportation, signals? Is it investment in enforcement? So we also partner with SAPD in doing high visibility enforcement out on the street. We also do education, like Teens in the Driver's Seat. That is another partner organization with us. And we go to schools and we speak to the students and the parents and the faculty about safe behavior on our roads.
Our phone number is 210-614-8980. If you want to share with us how you're talking to your teen about driving when they get behind a road, or how you feel about it. It's a scary time for a parent when you see your child drive off. But let me ask you, Rebecca, so we see the headline all the time, not all the time, but it happens, of a group of teens that crash on their way to school, and it's fatal sometimes, and it's terrible. Do we pay special attention to the roads that lead to our schools and figure out that these should be made safer?
Yes. Like with the city of San Antonio, we do have a specific program just for school safety. And that is another division within our department. And we do focus on improving the safety around the schools. And Vision Zero in itself came out of some of those efforts because we did see a student that was killed walking to school. And we realized that we needed a bigger program to solve the safety issues on our roads.
Now, Officer Dominic Garcia with the San Antonio Police Officer, you are on the road yourself. You're a motorcycle officer?
Yes, sir, I am.
And tell me what you see out there.
On a daily basis, I do see a lot of distracted driving among teenagers as well as adults. The number of accidents that we see involved with distracted driving it is significant. I would say one out of every 10 is going to involve a distracted driving incident.
Distracted driving, and that's one of the leading causes of these type of accidents with these teenage drivers. So, Stacy Tisdale, talk about that. And y'all are studying this.
We are. It is one of the major risks, but there are others. Number one actually is inexperience. The teens just don't have enough time behind the wheel. And as I was explaining to Officer Ortega, the dynamics of driving a car are not that hard to learn. They can learn how to go frontwards, backwards, stay in the lines. It's those situations they get into out on the roads. And so the driver's license requires that you get 30 hours of behind-the-wheel experience before you get your Phase 1 license. And that's normally with a parent. Sometimes it's with a driver's ed instructor. But 10 of those have to be at night. That's a baseline of what we should be doing. They just need more time behind the wheel in rain, at night, in the fog, all of those situations that they will be driving in. Along with distractions, there are other risks that they put themselves in behind the wheel when they get their license, including nighttime driving, which they don't know enough about, drowsy driving, speeding, seat belts, and of course impairments. And those are the risks that we focus on.
Distracted driving, that's basically code language for texting while driving, right?
It's not just about
texting. But that's the main one, right?
It can be the main one, yes.
So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that texting and driving is bad mojo.
It is, yeah. And, you take the hands off the wheel, you take the eyes off the road, and you take the mind off what you're doing. So all of those three things it's a recipe for disaster.
And when you're a teenager, that text at that moment may seem critically important.
It does, yeah. And there have been studies where, there are video cameras in the car, and you can see a teen when they get a text or they're sending a text, they're not very judicious about it. They may be turning, they may be going around a curve, all sorts of things. And so they don't wait like sometimes adults will do to where it's a straightaway and they can send it safer. I'm not advocating sending it at any time behind the wheel. But
when it comes to some teens and their urgency, it's like I could be, driving on the death loop and still nothing's going to stop me from sending
that
text.
Has to be done right now.
Yes, sir. And so, officer?
Adding to that, what I've noticed out on the roadway is the word distracted. There are many things that come to mind when you say distracted, but the number one is, like you said, texting. But on the traffic stops that I've personally had out there, I've noticed that there's a lot of other ones, and like there's Facebook, there's FaceTiming, mm-hmm. there's taking an actual picture while you're driving one-handed. And then another big one, I'd say second to texting, is GPS. So when I get a person that tells me, officer, I was only using my GPS, I was just using my GPS, that's fine, but what that tells me is that that person doesn't know where they're going because they're using their GPS. And when the phone is in their hand, their primary focus is where they want to go. and that's going to be in their hand because they don't know where they're going. So we try to tell everybody, if you must use the phone for other uses, get what we call hands-free devices. The hands-free devices make everything legal and has your eyes up on the roadway at eye level with both hands on the wheel instead of one hand with the phone in it.
Those things you're describing about all the shenanigans that are going on a car rather than I think distracted driving is still not even a tough enough word. I mean, I'm wondering if something like blind driving, because, I mean, at the time, you are blind to what's really going on at the time, and you're focused on these other items that they just take all of your attention momentarily. Let me ask you, Rebecca, with the city of San Antonio, how do we communicate that?
We put information out there to educate people about the risks. We are coming up with some new information that we'll be partnering with SAPD, and they will be doing traffic stops and providing that information to the public. We know the number one reason that's cited on the crash report is most often, I didn't see them. And that's what we typically see. But how are you going to see somebody if, one, you're going too fast? So the faster you go, the less you're actually seeing on the road. And then if you do see that person, the faster you're going, the longer it's going to take that person to stop.
So as a traffic officer, can you talk about, you know, when you do pull over, you see a teenager, Do you cite them for distracted driving? When you're on your motorcycle and you're on the road and you see them, you know, texting away, and do you turn on the party lights and pull them over?
I do, sir. I do conduct a traffic stop, and when I conduct the traffic stop, I try to explain to them why and how to correct this, because they're not familiar with driving in general. Like Stacy was saying, they're new to driving, so they haven't acquired these skills of basically just knowing their surroundings to become a defensive driver, which is what most adults are. They acquire experience so that they can view the roadway more than just this tunnel vision. Like when you're new, you're nervous, and you acquire this tunnel vision. When you start to gain more experience, it almost like a fog is starting to
And you gain better situational awareness about what's going around.
Correct. And on top of that, when you include a distraction inside the vehicle with that combined, it only increases their chances of being involved in an accident. So when I'm talking to them, I try to explain to them, all of this needs to be put away. You need to concentrate with both hands on the wheel, eyes forward on the road. And most of the time, they understand. Everything turns out okay. If I cite them or if I give them a warning, they understand, and then I explain everything on how to take care of their ticket.
What about this policy of just putting the phone away while you're driving, keep it in the purse, put it in one of those compartments in the vehicle? Is that something that that parents should be telling and enforcing with their kids when they allow them to drive the vehicle, Stacy?
Well, yes, and also doing themselves.
Because we learn from others.
Right. And we do know that State Farm did a survey, and it was 20 or two-thirds of teens mirror their parents' habits, driving habits. We also know that when a teen first gets their license, they usually do not have those habits because the parent's in the car with them. But as they gain more experience and they get a little bit more confidence, they start picking up the phone.
They get cocky.
They do. And so parents need to check back in with them, but they also need to be the example. Also, I will point out that when most of the teens, if they are talking on the phone in the car, they're talking to a parent. So if you're a parent and you know that your teenager is driving, don't call, don't text, because chances are they're going to pick it up. They know that you almost demand that of them. You know, I'm paying for your cell phone, pick it up when I call. So,
well, how do you know if they're driving?
Well, a lot of times parents do know where their teens are, and they know the time of day, so they know that they may be leaving school or going to school, work, you know, activities. And so, but just be a little bit more lenient with them and understand if they're driving, then it's okay if they don't pick up.
Okay, so what is the best practice, officer, if I do have an emergency phone call or emergency text? I mean, do I pull over on the side of the road, go into a parking lot? I mean, is that acceptable?
Absolutely. And try to conduct yourself in the safest manner. So if you're able to, pull over to the side of the road, pull over to the right. If you're able to get to a parking lot, even better. Conduct your phone call there. If it's 911, quickly as possible, get over to the right and try to do it safely.
If I'm on a highway, I don't want to be on the shoulder of the road, do I? I mean, just get off the highway?
Get off the highway. If there is a shoulder to the right, try to pull over to the shoulder of on the right-hand shoulder.
Okay.
And conduct your phone call there, if possible.
And there's a danger of being on the shoulder of the road as well, so you don't want to be there a long time.
That is correct. That's why I said if you're able to do it there safely or if you're able to pull into a parking lot off of the roadway.
And with the city of San Antonio, Rebecca, you know, Vision Zero, the numbers aren't going in the right direction. We've got a tough battle here.
Mm-hmm. So in 2017, we did see a drop in the numbers from 2016. So we saw a 25% drop in fatalities on the road. 2018, though, is not off to a very good start. We do see a 35% increase from 2017, so it is following the trends of 2016, in which 193 people lost their lives on San Antonio roads.
Shows us that if we put some effort into this, we can see results and we can save lives. We're going to take a quick break. I want to ask you, if you see reckless drivers on the road, how do you deal with that? How do we communicate to our children to drive safely? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continue after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Car crashes kill more young people than any other cause. Nearly half of all teen deaths in America each year. About 3,000 U.S. teens die each year in a car crash. And this happens at the summertime. This is the worst time for car crashes. They call it the 100 dangerous days. And why is that? We have a lot of inexperienced drivers, feeling it out, trying to see what they can do. They're trying to learn. They're trying to gain experience. But we got to be able to do this in a way that we can reduce the risk. So how do we communicate that to our teens, and how do we make sure that we all stay safe as we share the roads? Give us a call. Talk about what you do with your children. How do you make sure that your kids are driving safe? Give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Night driving is also one of these areas that we have to pay attention to. And so you tell me, Stacy Tisdale, you're the transportation researcher with teens in the driver's seat. Why is night driving, other than the fact that it's dark, I mean, is there a reason why that's so dangerous?
Well, as you said, yes, it's dark, and a lot of times teens don't understand oncoming traffic. It's really difficult to see how fast they're coming at you with just headlights, not to be blinded by other people's headlights. And then also because we are in such a digital age, they are just not getting the sleep that they need. Growing teens, they need about 9 or 10 hours of sleep a night. If any parent can probably ask their teen, and their teen is probably not getting that. They're busy. They have tons of activities going on. A lot of times they're in sports, clubs, organizations. They're out. A lot of them are working. And so they're just tired.
But a lot of teen drivers have restrictions on their driver's license, mm-hmm. that they're not supposed to be driving at night. Is that true?
That's correct. From midnight till 5 a.m. For the first 6 months. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
So, officer, when you see it looks like this person's young and they're violating that, how do you enforce that?
So if I do see a young person driving during that time, I will look for a traffic violation first. And if I do find that they are within that restrictions and they're not supposed to be out during that time, they can be issued a ticket.
So this could be a traffic violation, like turning without signaling, something like that.
Correct. Not maintaining their lane, any type of traffic violation.
But you say, okay, let's go in. Let's find out what's happening here. We've got the violation. You need to have the violation. And then you say, you're not supposed to be out here. And what do they tell you? Typically.
I'm on my way home, or I'm on my way to the house, or it's usually I'm on my way to the house.
But they all know they're not supposed to be out.
They know it. The courses that are set in place in order to obtain a driver's license now, they're told over and over, these restrictions are going to be set until a date that is given to them on the back of their driver's license. So when that date is expired, then they are no longer required to abide by those restrictions. But they know that they're supposed to be home at a certain time, not driving during those hours.
And this violation, is it just a financial citation, or is this going to restrict them further?
It is a financial
penalty,
as well as a court hearing that they have to go see the judge for. Now, the judge is the one that will make the decision on enforcing or actually taking their license away, depending on the infraction.
Wow.
So there could be more than one infraction on there. Remember, there was a traffic stop conducted before we noticed the restriction violation.
Okay, I'm going to go to the callers, 210-614-8980. Stephanie's on the line. Stephanie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm a parent from a 19-year-old to a 3-year-old, and this is a subject that I hadn't previously thought about, sharing the car with my 19-year-old who's been driving since 16. But I kind of like to maybe put some kind of decal or bumper sticker. My biggest concern is how road rage in Bexar County is an issue, and that often leads to violence and can sometimes lead to death. And I would just hate for something that my child's learning how to do, like drive, you know, appropriately by sharing their space and thinking of others, to lose their life because of an infraction. So I want to do some kind of decal, or I'm thinking magnet that says, this is my number. If you see this driver driving reckless, please call this number, because ultimately I think it's an education piece and an accountability piece for parents or whoever owned the car that it's sharing with the teens.
Stephanie, good idea. Thank you for that. So you see that all the time on commercial vehicles. If you see this truck driving recklessly, report it in. Is that something that parents could take advantage of? So you're the researcher, Stacy. Is that a new one?
It is a new one. There are some states that have a sticker, some sort of identifier of teen drivers on license plates, vehicles. I would say if it's magnetic, if your teen is a reckless driver, they'll probably just take it off before they drive. And I would suggest getting in the car with your teen every once in a while, just to make sure that they haven't developed any bad habits. And watch for signs like getting tickets, being in crashes. That's always,
That's a good sign. Yeah, getting crashes. Watching your insurance bill going up. That's another sign. So the caller brought up an interesting point about road rage. Now, teens, we have, they're not that great about impulse control. Is this an area that we also got to be concerned about, officer?
Definitely. We always want to be concerned about road rage. But when it involves our teens, by something that they're doing on the road, we find it rare that that would lead to a road rage incident. If there is something that happened that the teen is aware of, it's going to be an immediate, like, deacceleration in the young driver behind the wheel when they look in the window, knowing, okay, this person has not been behind the wheel for a very long time. I can tell he doesn't or she doesn't know how to drive, doesn't know what they're doing.
Okay.
But when you see...
You give them a pass. Okay, you cut me off.
Yeah, you cut me off.
And you see them...
Yeah, it's like, okay, get out of my way.
You get the dumb kid pass.
more than likely, yes, that's what's going to happen. Because road rage is between that we have seen adults. Now, if it does happen with a teenage driver, like I said, this is a rare occasion, but not that it wouldn't ever happen, but it is a rare occasion.
So Rebecca Passini, with this principal transportation planner for the city of San Antonio, someone mentioned headlights earlier and how, I think we're talking about how hard it is to drive at night. Is it my imagination, or is it because I'm getting older, that these headlights are getting brighter and it's harder to drive against traffic? I mean, do we know if headlights are getting tougher?
There was a study, and I don't remember who did it, but there was a study looking at the headlights, and they actually found out that a lot of the headlights aren't bright enough. And they really recommended to see the road.
But they're too bright so for me to face them.
They're didn't blinding meet the me. Standards.
You know, so yeah. Officer, you're shaking your head. So do you see the headlights are getting brighter?
I do, as they change the type of bulbs, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not too sure if they are LEDs, but if they are, then yes, that's the reason why they're so bright.
So the movement has been going to brighter headlights.
They're whiter. The color is whiter as well. And I've noticed how it does affect your sight as you're coming.
Sometimes I have to shield traffic. Block it out with my hand so it doesn't totally blind me what else is going on the road. I mean, that seems like that's a concern. Let me go to another caller, John, and the number is 210-614-8980 if you want to help us talk about teen drivers and how to help keep them safe. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, great show, David. My issue is I think that what used to be the highway department, now called TxDOT, I live near Loop 410 where they remodeled it several years ago, and there have been two teenagers killed by people bouncing out of the inlet to the storm sewer on the access road of Loop 410, where for the first few years, guess what the speed limit was? If you got off at Starcrest eastbound, it said exit 45. But there was no other speed limit sign, and everyone who was going underneath Starcrest headed east was going 65 or 70 like they were on the main lanes of the freeway. And my other issue is I really think speed kills. Most of the speed limits on the freeways of San Antonio and on some streets are set way too high. Not that I know much. I started driving the summer before I turned 10. It was my dad's idea out in the desert of West Texas. Drove my first trip 250 miles from Sheffield to the hill country of Texas.
All right, John, thank you for that. You brought up a couple of interesting points. One of them is about, when you take inexperienced drivers and you mix them with experienced drivers who have the need for speed, it seems to be a volatile mix because you have people piling up behind you, you're inexperienced, you feel pressure because these people are honking at me because I'm not driving fast enough. Is that something that, Stacy Tisdale, do you have to inoculate the teens to tell them, don't worry about the other drivers, you need to take care of yourself?
Yeah, I'm not a driver's ed instructor.
Uh-huh.
And so, but yeah, I would imagine, if we could all be a little kinder out on the road, especially when it's a student driver, and raising two kids of my own and going through that, you have to let them know that, you're number one right now.
And so at 16 years old, that's kind of like when people start driving. Is that the right age?
15.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get their license at 16.
Get your license at 16. Mm-hmm. Does that seem like it seems pretty young to me.
It is. It's, a lot of times teens are waiting now to get their license for all sorts of reasons. Cars are expensive, insurance is expensive, and colleges are actually, they're tearing up parking lots and putting in student housing. So you don't have to drive when you get to college.
Yeah, so we need those self-driving cars to come a little bit quicker. We're going to come back from the break. The phone line is 210-614-8980. We're talking about teen drivers and teen safety. This is the deadliest time of year for teens. Why is that? What can we do to encourage them to avoid risk? We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We all share the road, and some of those folks out there are very young drivers. They could be as young as 14, 15 years old. They really don't know the rules of the road, but they have a big vehicle, and they're driving it. And so we got to figure out how to help keep them safe and keep us all safe. What tips do you have for your loved ones? How should we go about this? 210-614-8980. Eric is on the line. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Sergeant. Thank you for taking my call in. The thing, I have a teenager, and she actually was hit by a distracted driver, also a teenager. And, you know, every time that I see someone driving recklessly, you know, on the phone or just driving, you know, over the speed limit and all that, I try to memorize the license plate, the car, and the location. But when I called, San Antonio Police Department, they say that there's nothing they can do because there's no, you know, evidence or anything like that. So even in my community, sometimes I see drivers driving at 40, 45 miles an hour on a 15-mile zone, and I know who they are and all that. What can we do to actually at least give them a citation or a warning or something? Because I see these drivers at least 5 a day.
All right. Thank you for that call. I appreciate that. So one thing I've done, let me ask you about this. I think this could be a solution for this caller. You know, now you can buy these cameras that you mount to your windshield inside your car and they power off your vehicle, and they record the driving that goes on in case you ever get in a car accident. It helps prove that you were in the right. But this is something that any parent could buy. They're kind of cheap and be able to really monitor their kid at all times how they were driving. Is this something that, I mean, have you seen these devices, officer?
I have seen these devices.
It's like a dash cam like you have.
Correct. And I've seen them being sold at auto parts stores. I've seen them at Walmart as well. These devices come in handy if you're able to record something that you see with a license plate and the make and model of that vehicle so that we can obtain that information and help get these people stopped for the infractions.
Have you seen these, Stacy Tisdale?
They're used in studies a lot. A lot of times insurance companies will use them also in studies to record driving.
These are consumer devices. They cost less than $50. You put a little memory card in there, and it can record several hours of video and roll over. And then if you get into a car accident, you can tap it, and it will save that file. But a parent could take that device and plug it into their own home computer, and they could actually see how the child was driving and what they were doing. So you may not be able to be in the vehicle at all times, but maybe you can virtually with this device.
You could. There's also apps. We have one ourselves that we're testing, and it's offering incentives for good driving behavior. And so we're asking that, you know, parents get involved with that.
Yeah, so talk about the safest young driver contest.
Well, we started it in May, and it runs through the end of June, so it's almost over. And we're asking that teens download the app. It records all their driving habits, and we're awarding money to and other electronic devices to the safest drivers.
That's a good incentive.
Right.
And so, Rebecca, can you talk about how the city of San Antonio and maybe is looking at these types of programs to encourage safe driving?
So similar to teens in the driver's seat, we're using an app as well for SA Safest Driver Contest, and it's sponsored by USAA, and it measures speed, distraction, hard braking, cornering, and fat acceleration. So you can compete with your friends, you can compete amongst your family, and we're competing citywide to see who is the safest driver in San Antonio. If you're having some errors on the road, it will give you some notification for ways that you can improve. And it's just fun to see where you rank amongst your peers and your family, because it really enlightens to see, wow, I'm a really good driver, and oh my gosh, that I'm not going to get in a car with that guy, you know? So it's been interesting to see what other people's scores are. I know some people are nervous because they don't want their friends to know how bad they drive, but we share the same road, so we do see it, and if we can correct those issues, hopefully it'll save some lives.
What's the name of the app again?
Ours is SASafestDriver.com is where you can go to get the app. So it's San Antonio Safest Driver Contest, and it's available on the Google Play Store as well as the Apple Store.
Is it always running in the background on your phone, or do you have to turn it on when you get into your car? How does that work?
Yes, it runs in the background. You don't have to push it at all. It'll send you notifications when you end a trip, and it'll tell you how you did. So you don't really have to interact with the app, except for if you want to check your score and get tips on how you can be a better driver.
And do you award money?
Like, yes. So the top prizes, we have three top prizes of $10,000, one for the safest overall driver, one for the safest military driver, and another one for the least distracted driver. And that will be the grand prize awarded after Labor Day. So we did coincide our contest with the 100 days of summer, which are the most deadliest. We'll also be doing every 2 weeks. There are $500 cash prizes, three for the top of those three categories, so nine every 2 weeks, as well as $150 given like a drawing randomly to anybody that's participating.
And Stacy Tisdale, schools can win money too, right, with your program?
Right. So we have a contest throughout the school year. We really encourage the teens to continue the messaging all through the school year. We need that message to keep going. And so they turn in activities and they get points, and top schools win cash prizes.
All right, let me go to the callers. And Alan is on the line. Alan's been holding on. Alan, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Okay, ma'am. What I would like to see is high schools reinstate the driver's education courses they used to have.
Don't they still do that?
No.
No, not that I'm aware of.
It was taken out years ago.
So how are they? So you have to go to like a private place to do that, to
Correct.
Learn how to drive?
Or parent taught.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so apparently, yeah, so what happened? Does anyone know?
I don't know. I know it had been taken out years ago, and I don't know why.
We've been working with the Texas Department of Transportation as well as Texas Transportation Institute on the Strategic Highway Safety Plan. And one of the measures of success or recommendations in there is to revisit the driving education course, because it is lacking in what is actually being taught to new drivers. We have, I just met our new intern for the summer yesterday, and I learned that she's been taking driver's ed online, and she's 16 years old. So it concerns me, knowing that what kind of education is she really getting through an online course?
What does that mean, online? You're playing Mario Kart? Is that how you get the driver's license?
They still have to do a log of miles, but I think for me, it's questionable about what information are they really getting and what kind of practical experience are they going to get if it's not given, if the course is not provided by an instructor, like a live person.
Another caller, Keith. And Keith, thanks for holding on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think in summary, we have to be practical about this and raise, this would involve lawmakers, raise the minimum age, because 16 is way too immature. We have some generational issues with attention deficits with these kids. I live near UTSA, and I can see a lot of the underclassmen driving around on 1604 in the streets. They have their heads down on the phone. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if my parents' generation said this about me, but there are some stark realities and differences where we should really look at legally raising the minimum age to at least an adult. Now, there's going to be a lot of backlash with it relating to family transportation and jobs or what have you, but I agree with what was said earlier about the log of miles and just the simple online course. I've got a 17-year-old that's waited and is taking this now, and I just it's going to really rely on the parents, and that does not give me much sense of well-being, being a fellow driver on the road.
All right, Keith, thank you for that. It seems like we're adding more distractions, not taking them away from our vehicles, where you have all of these gizmos and lights and action happening. You know, flat screens are embedded into the vehicle now. You're watching movies while you're driving. You know, what are we doing here? But we have to talk about alcohol and other impairments. Is that a problem? You're not supposed to be drinking until you're 21, but we know that's an issue as well. So, officer, I mean, you're out there on the road. What do you see?
Yes, we do see a problem with alcohol. Our teens are becoming more interactive with others that are wanting to associate, dare, get out and celebrate. Well, doing it with alcohol is just something that we can't afford for anybody to do. And these teens that are doing this, when it comes to involving alcohol and then getting behind the wheel, we've got just a bigger situation that's going to make an enormous mess when it comes to getting involved behind the wheel, getting involved in an accident.
We cannot stress how important this is. These are fatal accidents that are happening. On a per mile basis, teens are 8 times more likely to die in their first 6 months of driving than adults. Getting serious, monitoring your children, figuring out how we can make sure that they're obeying the rules of the road. It's critical to make sure that they become experienced drivers and know how to drive safely. I want to thank all of our guests this afternoon. We had Rebecca Passini. She's the principal transportation planner for the city of San Antonio. And again, the name of the app, and plug the app one more time.
It's SASafestDriver.com.
Download the app, and you could win money by being the safest driver. Stacy Tisdale, she's a researcher with the teens in the driver's seat. You got your own app, and that's called?
Safest Young Driver, website t-driver.com.
And we also want to thank our officer, traffic officer with us with SAPD, Dominic Garcia. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Yes, sir.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.